For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Thursday afternoon service on December the 29th, 1988. Tape number 14 of the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Lance Reynolds is the teacher for the afternoon.
Appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Blanche is going to come and minister this afternoon, and her ministry may not all be as you might think, but we'll find out about that after she gets started here. Blanche, come on.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We thought it would be expedient if we had a testimony service and everyone just kind of be informal and let's praise the Lord for what He's done for us here.
Amen.
And we'd just like to lift up Jesus and praise Him. Hallelujah. Let's pray before we begin. Father, we just thank You for the fullness of Your Word, Lord.
Yes.
That it's never void, and it always does what You sent it to do. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that there is none beside You, and that there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, no judging guilty to those that are in Christ Jesus. And Father, we recognize that You aren't done with us yet. You're
right.
Doing a vital work in the midst of Your body in this hour. And we've come here this week to praise You and magnify Your name and to lift You up. So now, Lord Jesus, we just give ourselves to You. We're family. We pull down all the barriers. We become close, trusting, peaceful, thankful that You've called us this way, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, of all the places that I go, this is the most balanced ministry that I've been affiliated with. I'm always honored to come to Lake Hamilton, because I know what they stand for. Just very good. I'd like my sister from Lebanon come and share with us a minute what the Lord done for you today and this week. Just come right on up here to the microphone.
Good.
Oh, right there. Just come right here. Around there. There too.
I came wanting deliverance. And I saw some things, but I didn't see the depth.
Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. It's all right now. Hallelujah.
The depth that I need to go far, far deeper. And I've seen things I've never seen before, and I praise Him for it. Thank You, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. We bless the Lord.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because I don't know many of your names. I may just call you by what you have on, if that's all right. And you forgive me. My little friends here with the gray jacket and her husband in the blue shirt, would you come? Praise the Lord. Both of you. These are folks from Nebraska. Precious brother and sister in Christ. Going home to new people. Just share what's on your heart, what you've received. And go ahead, sir, as the priest.
Well, I have been to several charismatic meetings for gospel and such. And I have never in my life receive messages like I've had here. It's just unbelievable. And this is the first time we've been here, but we'll be back.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord really has ministered to both of you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Well, I received a miracle. And, you know, if somebody would have told me that the other day, I'd have thought, yeah, maybe. I didn't know you could worship the Lord this way. I just tell you, yeah, I know Jesus died for my sins, sure. Well, yeah, but I always thought, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I always said that. But we don't hear that in our church. We hear it in the liturgy, but when it comes to the Holy Spirit, forget it. Now, I mean it's so serious that I asked the pastor about it. And he said, well, we'll talk about that the day on Pentecost, once a year. He said, once a year is enough. And that infuriated me so much. And he still believes that. And I'm going to have to tell him, you know, what's the matter? Not only have we been blessed spiritually, I have been blessed physically. I had a pain here for years, and I had other pains that were worse than this one, you know, and so I didn't pay much attention to it. But this pain affected the other ones, and I didn't know it. So this pain is gone. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy I hardly stand it. The other ones are leaving shortly, I know. And I'm so glad to be here and to worship with these people that are so dedicated. And when you walk out that door, you are going to serve the Lord with gladness, with thankfulness, with peacefulness.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'd like the couple that are missionaries in Mexico. Would you two come, please? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've so much enjoyed fellowshipping with everybody this week. We've been so pleased to come together again. Some I knew, brand new. Now, you know, we've just been a family. Well, about the third day, it just comes together for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, my brother.
Well, we had been going into Mexico, and this year we just believe the Lord's going to have us go back to Wisconsin. And we appreciate this place. Well, we've been here many times, and I've had some strong deliverances, and this year they've been a little easier on me. But it happens all different ways, and I thank the Lord for this place. It's always comfortable here, and we just enjoy being here, and we've just received so much from the Lord and so much growth. And this year, again, I can't get over the teaching. It's teaching I never heard. I didn't think it was even available, and it's just beautiful. So I really praise the Lord
praise
for it.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
It's always good to come home, and this is home for us. And the Lord has done many things in my life since I've been here. But this morning when Glenn was talking about praying for the family, the Lord really touched me. I really love my kids, and I love my in-laws. I have two sons and one son-in-law and two daughter-in-laws. And I really thought I loved them, and I thought I was doing my best with them till we were praying, and the Lord showed me that I haven't been the kind of mother-in-law I should be, and that I need to go home and be a better mother-in-law, and then I'll have a whole better family. And my kids will go forth like they should. And so I just praise God for the deliverances I get and the bread I get from the Lord. This is a good place to come. And it's been a whole year. We usually come in the summer, so it's been a long time.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The lady in the pink sweater, would you come? Praise the Lord. Walking. Yes.
I want to praise God for the obedience of Glenn and Irma for even beginning this place.
I want to thank my friend for even getting me started from coming down here. But the Lord has done so much for me. He's given me so many deliverances. And if you need prayer, this is the place to come. I had to have surgery on my leg last month. And I wrote down here and had the prayer instead of going to my home church because I knew when they prayed down here, they would begin to bind the spirit that would come in through the anesthetic. They would begin to bind the pain. And I never had any pain except for the very first day that I had the surgery. They came in and gave me pain medicine that I didn't want. But I never had any pain, and I still don't have any pain with my leg.
Hallelujah.
And I praise God for it. And I praise God for this place.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How about the lady that was sitting right beside you there? I had met both of you when I was here back in the spring. It was a delight to see you again. Amen. The Lord really touched you this morning, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Hallelujah.
I was sitting back here one day, and it just came to me, oh, this place is like a laundromat for the soul. And that just kept coming to me, and really, it is. It's a place where we can get our soul, body, and spirit cleaned up. And I praise the Lord. And I came here the first time just on my own because I was in touch with the Millers for many years, you know, through their magazine and through a recorder we got from them. And I just thought, well, if I'm ever going to go there, I've just got to pack up and go. I live all by myself, you know, so I came, you know, and they just welcomed me as family. But anyway, but I've had the times that I've been coming, and this is my 10th time to be here. And I've just received so much help. And in the ladies' meeting, I received so much healing. And this morning, and I know you don't want to hear about the junk that came up, but let me tell you this one thing. It seemed like there was like a peanut. That it was just something about the size of a peanut that just came from my innermost being and just came right on up and out. And I tell you, folks, back when, I don't know how old I was, but I guess 5, 6, 7, a little school girl, and my folks were talking about this girl. They'd heard about this girl that had bone cancer in her leg. And I don't know, you know, I didn't know her, I never saw her or anything, but they talked about it, but it bothered me. There was something about that bothered me. And, you know, we kids had to wear cotton socks and you had garters, and I couldn't even stand the garters. They hurt my legs, and then finally my mom got me a garter belt, and that helped, you know. But always I've had this leg problem, and I don't know, you know, now I'm trying to sort it all out, you know. But whether that was something that came in that has plagued me, I don't know. My mother had varicose veins, and I kept saying, just because she had those ulcers, I don't have to have them. I've stood on that, and I've got bad veins, I'll have to say, unless the Lord intervenes in that. But I've never, ever had an ulcer. And I just praise the Lord for that. But I just feel like I am really free. I feel free right
now.
Praise
God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You just bless the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The lady back there in the red sweater and the white blouse and her husband sitting by her, why don't you guys come? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We were blessed to be here the first time. I think it was Labor Day weekend, 1987. And we had a friend who came here for healing the cancer, Gene McGee, at that time. We were told about this place. And so we thought Labor Day weekend, we would come. And we just knew we had to be here. And so when we come here, it's a 615-mile ride one way. And so we leave 3 o'clock in the morning, and that gets us here. About 12:30, we can go to our motel and get things straightened away, and then we come to the afternoon meeting. Well, that first time, we were so excited, we couldn't sleep, so we just left at 12 o'clock at night and came on down. And what was a special blessing for us at that time was in the area where we were, or where we are,
I'd been falsely accused. I've been told I'd been gone off in the deep end. I wasn't balanced anymore. I'd received a lot from in the spirit concerning the end time work of the remnant and how it's going to be, and that was not received either. And when I came here, I heard it all here.
Praise God.
It was a great confirmation. But then last Thanksgiving, a year ago, when we were here, we were going through the deliverance session in the afternoon concerning various diseases and various problems. And so Glenn was up here speaking and casting out in the name of Jesus, and the one of psoriasis came up. He cast that spirit out, and I said, "Lord, that's me." And I felt something all over me, and I've not had psoriasis since then. I'm too tight to buy prescription medicine, so I bought special medicine out of Texas and ordered it out of Texas. And I probably spent $150 to $200 a year on shampoo alone for my head. I had to shampoo my hair every night. If I went 3 nights and didn't shampoo my head, I couldn't keep my hands off my head. I had so many sores. But that's all gone now. I thank you. Appreciate you.
Praise God.
I also want to thank the Lord for this place because there's just so many things have been confirmed to us that we've learned and felt that the Lord was showing us. But coming here, most of it's been confirmed. And I also want to say that the last time we were here, I was freed from hot flashes. So I thank the Lord for
Amen.
That.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That's good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The gentleman that plays the piano and his wife, would you come? Both of you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I really identify with what the brother said. I don't know, it must have been 2 or 3 years ago. You know, you go so long and you're the Lord is teaching you, but down the line you want to hear somebody that that's had the same revelation. So I called Glenn and Irma. I hadn't seen them in years. And when I came, I said, "Now I just want to come and I want you to talk to me and tell me what the Lord's been saying to you." It was so exciting to hear what the Lord had said to them was what He'd said in my heart. And it just, I can't tell you how it ministered to me. People would say, "Well, you're preaching this or you're preaching that." And I didn't think that I was preaching anything but Jesus. And I knew that there were a lot of things going to be a lot different than the quote church thought they were going to be. And my heart was hungry for the Lord. And so when I came, it was like a coming together of a great symphony. And it just, it all fit. And the song was full of glory as it was lifted to the Lord. And so I came away very encouraged and hungering still more. The Lord speaks to me sometimes. And He calls me His little girl with big eyes. And that blesses me because I know what He means. I'm like the mountain goat way up there above everybody else hollering, "Come on, you guys, come on, you guys." But I appreciate the revelation of the Word. And I know that in the countdown in this hour, it's going to be those that have that Word, the pure Word, that are going to stand. See, the more we remove the curse of death, more life is going to be seen.
Yes.
Life is what Satan can't touch. Now, I'm talking about immortal life, the life of resurrection life, the life of Jesus. He can't take that away from you, what the Lord your God has given. And in this hour and through this next year, we're going to hear a greater life word than the church has ever known. And see, when that life word is revealed, that's not going to bother anybody to get out of death, to kick that death realm out. We're a people living in an hour when we are going to see the manifestation of the sons of God, because that's what we are. Hallelujah. Come, my brother.
It would have been easier to share a testimony. I didn't know I was going to be up here. It would have been easier to have done this yesterday or the day before, because the devil really tried to hit me today, you know, with feelings and oppression and a lot of heaviness and fears and doubts. But that's not going to, that can't shake off the truth. So I'll just say what I believe is real, that, you know, these things are just temporary. That I rejoice especially being here because Wanda and I, we've been in a desert, and the only oasis we have is that there's a brother that came here about three times over the past 5 or 6 years. And when we needed to hear the truth the most, when things in my heart, you know, and things looked hopeless for me, it's a long story. But anyway, there was a person who had come here, and it was when I thought I knew everything, and I thought I had all the full truth about holiness, and even a little over a year and a half ago, the Holy Spirit had revealed some kingdom teachings to me, things that we know about, certain things about the rapture and end times and things, and about holiness. And the one truth I believe about salvation, kingdom teaching, I think, what I mean by kingdom teaching and holiness, I'm going to refer to the verse Jesus said. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. And he that will save his life will lose it. He that will lose his life will find it. I think that's the kingdom teaching in a nutshell. And that was impressed very strongly to me. But at that time, there were preachers on holiness that had some of these very strong truths. And some of them had the same strong teaching of holiness that were still clinging to traditions of men about raptures and things like this. And at the time in my life, I got all excited and I thought I was a great prophet called by God, you know. And I had no teacher. There was nobody in our city. The churches, you know, they wouldn't believe this. And when God set me free, you know, and I got on fire for the Lord, the church we went to, you know, they it just didn't work. We had to leave. It was funny, you know. I begged the pastor over and over again for 4 years or so to try to help me, you know, to get out from under the bondage of sin and bondage and things in my life I couldn't overcome. And they would smile and pat me on the back, and they would say, "Oh, Jesus has a release for you sometime." Well, he had a release about a little over a year and a half ago. I got on fire for God and repented and got excited about God, and then they didn't want me in the church anymore. But to make it short, at that time, over a year and a half ago, about a year and 8 months ago, it'd be about 2 years ago with February when these things happened, the Holy Spirit revealed to me things all by myself. I had no pastors, no shepherd. There was no one at that time. And I got excited. I thought I was a great prophet called of God, knew everything. And the devil came in like an angel of light, you know, trying to tell me. He couldn't twist much of the truth anymore because I had the Spirit had revealed truth. But, you know, the devil came in trying to tell me, you know, that you're some great one. God revealed this to you, you know, and that stuff. And I thought I was the only one in the United States who knew the truth.
Well, you've had some deliverance here, haven't you?
Right. But when I came here, it was amazing. First, I heard the newsletter from the camp, Voices from His Excellent Glory. Had a couple, three copies of it, and the Lord impressed in my heart to come here because it was more important than anything else. We came 700 miles to come here.
Praise God.
And when I got here, the teachings that are on that table here, they're things that the Spirit showed me 2 years ago, this coming February. Amen. A lot of it is, except Amen. I knew nothing of deliverance. And Amen. That's why God has to show us we're not perfect. I had to fall. Things had to come crashing down. Mm-hmm. And that's been explained in the
Amen.
The preaching
Amen.
Before yeah. God was here. And I'm not all the way. There's a lot of deliverance that has to be done. But I have this hope. And I know that, you know, I know the truth. And this is the truth. If you know the truth, it'll set you free. And Jesus says, if any man has this hope, he that has this hope purifies himself, even as he
Praise
is
God.
So
Amen.
That's the testimony.
Well,
I noticed the unity and the love and the joy
Amen.
And the truth and real Christianity.
Hallelujah.
And a couple of days ago, I was telling Wanda, you know, I don't want to leave. I'd like to go find an acre down here somewhere.
I've
got a job back home. Pray for me, because it took a miracle to get here. The place I'm working at, they're going to work 10 hours a day, 5 days a week, and I don't want to be there. But, you know, unfortunately, the Lord probably wants me there. And I have a bunch of people there. I call them terrors, but I shouldn't do that. But there's people where I work at that desperately need to know the mm-hmm. truth. And the people who resist truth aren't, they're not the ungodly, the unbelievers. They're those who just have a form. And mm-hmm. the Lord is helping me to love those people.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Forgive me for talking too long.
That's all right, brother. Come on, sweetheart. Just stay here with you. Hallelujah.
I really appreciate being here. And like Jim said, we've been in the desert. And it's just been nice to come down and to be able to drink and to drink and to drink and to drink and to drink of the Word of God and the Spirit. And it's just been really great. I really praise the Lord. I've had deliverances. Every time we pray for deliverance, I have deliverances of things. And so I'm just praising the Lord for all of it coming out. The reason why we're here, as was alluded to just not too long ago, is because we want to be free so that we can help others be free.
Amen. That's right. That's right. That's the message of the hour. Makes more room in you for Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, thank you very much. Praise the Lord. The lady in the burgundy blouse with the black jacket sitting right there with the blonde hair. Right there. Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We sat down yesterday and had a time of prayer together. Come, dear. Just tell them how the Lord healed you or whatever.
Okay.
You feel impressed.
Okay. All right. I'm glad to be here. And this is the third time that I've been here. And my friend and I, the week before that we were to come, I got this severe attack on my physical body. And I just felt like my arm was paralyzed or out of the socket. And I could raise my elbow just a little bit, but then it made terrific pain up here. And I thought, you always start analyzing things in the natural to find out, well, what has happened to me? You know, what did I do? And we do these soulish things first before we finally get to the source of what's happened to us. Most of the time, a lot of the times, it's satanic. So I called her up and I said, I have something to tell you. And she started rejoicing because she thought I was going to give her good news. And I said, I have this severe attack on my body. And I thought, if the Lord don't heal me, I'll probably end up in the hospital, because it was really terrible. And so we prayed in agreement. I thank God for the knowledge that He's given His people how to pray. There's more than one way to pray. And the agreement in prayer, so we agreed on the phone that the Lord had healed me. And she's really good for me, because she guards her conversation. You know, she speaks positive. And so she's really good for me. And she said, well, we better hang up before you say something negative. I might lose my healing. She said, oh, the Lord heal me. But I got really tickled down. I think that's when I got healed. But I just got real tickled down in my spirit when she said that to me, because I was glad she said that. And so the Lord healed me. He really did. And so it was satanic. And then since I've been here, I've had I don't know why, but I had another physical attack on my body since I've been here. And it was almost like I was trying to have a virus. You know, I just hurt all over and had chills and ached. And, you know, I've just had to really... Blanche, she prayed for me yesterday.
Yes.
And it wasn't like I had an instant healing, but I've really had to press my way through this, because it hasn't been easy, you know, to sit in the services and you hurt all over and you ache and you just, you know, you just have all these symptoms. But I thank the Lord that He helped me to press my way through this thing.
and I've been able to be in as many of these services that as I have been. Because what you miss one, you've missed, you know, the devil will just keep you out of the main one. Mm-hmm. If you miss one service, you fully miss something. But the Lord has healed me so many different ways that I just praise Him for, you know, for everything He's done for me. But I had a back disability, and I had to take an early retirement because of it. And I was in Bradenton, Florida. Maxwell White prayed for my back, and I didn't feel a thing, but God healed me instantly. And I guess after that I did more work than, you know, than I did.
Praise
the
Lord. Hallelujah.
I had a garden. I did physical work, you know. But
praise God.
I don't know, the Lord healed me one time when I had bursitis in my shoulder, and then the power of God just fell on me. It was just like rain, you know, it just rained down on my head. And everybody around the altar that prayed, we about only knew how to pray then, was just anointing with oil. You know, that's about all the knowledge we had. And so it was this little mission church, and I came up there, and everybody up there, I believe, if they reached out, they would have been healed. There's so much power there. So that one time, I really felt the anointing power, the healing virtue. It just went all, it just rained down on me and down my shoulder and down those nerve ends. I was healed instantly. So I really believe in healing, and I really believe in the power of God. And then the Lord led me into deliverance. And Ruth Stislaw, she comes here all the time. She was a perfect stranger to me, and from Anderson, she called just before that. A friend had handed me a book of Wynne Worley's on deliverance, and she called me from Anderson, and a friend of mine lived up there and had told her about me, not about deliverance because I hadn't been around it, but I had read this book already. She called me up long distance, and she said this friend of mine that was coming, that was going with her, had canceled out because she had relatives come in, and she asked me if I'd go with her to Wynne Worley's. It was the first workshop he ever had, so I got in on the beginning of that, and I want to learn more about. You can't, you never know. You know a little, but you don't. You can learn,
right.
And learn. And I thank God for deliverance because it really does things that nothing else can do. And I just praise God for all His works.
Amen.
And they're just great and marvelous. And when anybody gets helped and gets delivered, it's just a rejoicing in our hearts. And I just praise Him because I just appreciate your minister here because it has been wonderful.
Amen.
And I've really been fed. And you think, oh, I want this tape and I want that tape. You know, you've got to hear it again. And you, when you start to figure out which one you want, they're all so really good that you almost need help. But I just thank the Lord that God has got a people. And we don't have this kind of, in our communities, we don't have this kind of fellowship. And it seems like they're just in a rut and they don't have ears to hear or something. And it's hard on you when you go back into these ministries. Mm-hmm. But the Lord, I guess maybe we can go back, and if they have ears to hear, they'll listen to us. And maybe we could bless them.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, dear. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Bill, you come and tell us what the Lord has done for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
First of all, we thank the Lord for the body of Christ.
Amen.
I tell you, the Lord places us in a family, a real family, where we can have fellowship with one another. Just like God came down in the Garden of Eden and had fellowship with Adam. When we come here, we have fellowship with our family because we call you our family. We get so excited because we see you getting so blessed. We, first of all, we come here to be a blessing. And coming here to be a blessing, we receive abundantly more than we ever give out. I come singing in the joy of the Lord. I go home so hoarse it takes a week for me to get my voice back. But maybe that's for a reason. Maybe that's the time I really should get in the Word of God. And instead of singing so much, get and open the Word and let the Word come alive within me, which it is coming more and more and more. The more I get into the Word, the more revelation that God gives me. When we go out on the road, when men Tommy goes out on the road, we're in constant prayer. We're rejoicing in the Lord. We see people get blessed all over the country. But I'm so thankful that I know, like Brother Glenn says, I know that that God has a purpose and plan for my life. And you know, we never know what the future really lies for us, only it's in Him. But I'm thankful that as long as we yield our bodies as members unto Him, then He'll do the work. He'll complete the work. I don't have to worry about it. If I just lay myself all on the altar for Him, the work will be completed. That's when I don't fear tomorrow. I don't fear tomorrow, and I don't look back to the past, because Satan would like for you to look back to the past and bring those little things up on and get them up in here to disturb you. But you know, I've learned that we can't go back to the old past, the old Pentecostal way that I came in 1950. The Lord brought me in latter rain in a Methodist church. Over 300 was saved in the town. God called them out, the prostitutes off of the streets, the derelicts, the moonshiners out of the mountains of West Virginia in a Methodist church. 300 God saved in that little revival. But the Lord knew that I needed more than just salvation, so He sent me down to a church where I had to get the Holy Ghost. And I had just come from this church upon the hill to go down and pick up my father. And we live in the coal minings of West Virginia, and those coal tipples really put out the dirt. And I don't care how much you scrub your porches or scrub the floors, the dirt's still there. So I went down to pick up my father. Here I was all dressed up in my finery. I'd been to the church upon the hill, which was good. That's where I met the Lord. And then I went to pick him up, and I walked in this little church. They must just have had a handful. But there were people singing up on the platform, colored people. And I've never heard this before. I've always been very rhythmic as far as that go. And I began to clap my hands. And all of a sudden, something came over me that I didn't feel when I got saved, but I knew I was saved because I went home and my mother said, "What happened?" She knew there'd been a change because I never had a desire to go back to the formal things. God just took every worldly desire and all the cigarettes that I smoked and all the bad things that I did completely away from me. Ain't that just like the Lord? So, and then I was clapping my hands, and all of a sudden this anointing came down upon me. I know what it was. It is now. And I began to clap my hands, and the more I clapped my hands, the more anointing I felt. And I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop clapping my hands. And all of a sudden, the anointing of the Lord swept me upon that bench. It wasn't a seat. It was a bench, a homemade bench. Off of that seat and put me in that floor. And I don't know how long I lay there, but I was so drunk on the anointing of the power of the Holy Ghost, they had to carry me home. I couldn't walk no longer. So I began to speak in a language I had never, never in my life heard. I'd been around, my father was Pentecostal, but I never heard him speak in tongues. I knew there had been a change in his life. But yet, they had to carry me home. And my mother, who was a Wesley Methodist, when she brought me in the door, and she said, "What's this?" And my father said, "Well, Bill got the Holy Ghost." And they had to carry me to bed. And I spoke in tongues all night long. But I woke up the next morning as if I had 24 hours sleep, because the freshness of the Lord just overshadowed me and filled me and thrilled me and made me so excited. I was in church for about 10 years, every night someplace.
Praise God.
I had so much zeal in me for God, I didn't want to miss nothing. And when God comes in, like a flood, He'll put a zeal in you that you ain't got room for nothing else.
Hallelujah.
And I praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy, and I thank the God for this place. Amen. How He led us here, and how we became a part of the family here. Because God places you, and wherever God places you, you have to be there to be a blessing. And you have to give you all. Not just part of you, but all of you. And I'm going to ask my wife to come, who the Lord gave me. Come on, honey. This is my better half. And I really mean my better half. We're not going to give our testimony. They do have it on tape here. But I tell you, the Lord gave me one of the most beautiful gifts when He gave me her. I stood upon a word that the Lord gave me. He said, "Son, if thou will wait in due season, I'll send the right helpmate." And I stood up on that word and I cried. I used to go to church fellowships and go home. I'd be so empty. And I said, "Lord, when are you going to send the helpmate?" He said, "Son, if thou will wait in due season, I'll bring the right helpmate." Well, I kept wondering and wondering, and I said, Lord, when? He said, son, if thou will wait in due season, I'll bring the right helpmate. And I shed many, many, many nights of tears upon a bed because I was so lonely, even though I had God and I had friends. But there was a voidness and an emptiness that I had longed for. And, of course, my mother and daddy had longed for it even more than I did. But they didn't. They had passed away before me and my wife and Peggy had gotten married. So I used to go home and cry and just pour out my heart to the Lord. He said, son, if I would wait in due season, I'll bring the right helpmate. Well, you know, I was 46 years old. And just imagine this. All those years of waiting, I gave the brother back here from Missouri. The Lord's going to send the right helpmate to you, brother. He's going to send you the right, and we're going to pray that God will give you the divine mate that you need. And also Linda, we're praying hard for Linda Sutter. I tell you, we're really praying for her. That God will send the right helpmate for her.
Let Peggy talk, Bill.
Well, I'm going to. But anyhow, I was 46, never been married before, had plenty of chances, but I'm glad that I waited because the Lord gave me the best.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Well, he has said everything, I think. But I just praise the Lord, and I just thank him for my better half. And back in, I think it was 72 or 73, I had a void in my heart. And I was started searching, and I came over to Tulsa to visit my sister, and she ministered to me. And I rededicated my life to the Lord, and that void was filled. And the scripture that was given to me was Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. And for a whole year, I was studying the word and searching the scriptures and attending all the meetings I could, and approximately for about a year. And one morning I was watching TV, like Oral Roberts or Rex Lombard, Catherine Kuhlman, and there was a commercial about this certain church in Hialeah, Florida. So I felt the leading of the Holy Spirit to go there, and I told my mom and dad, and the first night we went there and went into the door, into the church, Bill was up at the pulpit getting his music ready. And he turned around and came down the aisle with such warmth, and his eyes were sparkling, and he was smiling, and it was just the warmth of Jesus, the love of Jesus. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and it crossed my mind, is I wonder if he's married. But but anyway, he wasn't, thank the Lord. And the Lord has saved me for him and him for me, because neither one of us have ever been married. We didn't get ahead of God. If you do get ahead of God, then you have to go around the mountain several times. And I just thank the Lord that we did not get ahead of God. And I thank him for my better half.
How long have we been married now?
We'll be married. We'll be celebrating our 14th year. January the 25th.
1989.
We were married January the 25th, 75.
Praise God. Amen. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Gus, why don't you come? Praise the Lord. Just tell about your deliverance, Brother Gus.
I don't know where to start.
Well, start with this camp.
Well, unfortunately, my first deliverance
strikes me most curious that the word is the fullness of the word. I've gone to a number of churches. God has been merciful in my life. I've lived in sin for 60 years. And he directed me to Poplar Bluff. He took a fellow that had gone through a oneness church, put him in my path. I was going to take my life. And he directed me to a farm that has a similar teaching that they have here. And they delivered me. And we were going to go to one of their camp meetings. And things got mixed up. And finally we decided we're going to come here. And then Brother Jack said, no, I don't think I'm going to go. And
I believe it's one of the first times in my life that I stood up as a man. I said, I'm going whether you want to or not. They said, well, I'm going with you. I was shocked. And we came down here. That's the best move I've ever made. Oh, there's times I get better, better, better. And people, sometimes I feel like I'm alone. But it's something that the Lord is putting me through to overcome.
Yeah.
I'm finding that out. The spirits are trying to have a field day with me from time to time. But thanks to the teaching of this camp and the people that come here and the people that hold on to the word, I am learning. I was a poor learner in school, and I've always been a hard learner, not only in the physical, but also in the educational. I've always been a stubborn person, and I need a lot of washing, and the Lord's doing it the only way he knows. Well, he knows how, but I mean, the only way I would accept it. Because when he delivered me and healed me, I could have gone back to a good job. But he knew me better. He knew my heart. He knew my mind. And he knew that the mind that I had was the mind of the world. But my heart, nobody knew. I sat in a place where there were all kind of preachers. They all offered me to, invited me to their churches. I couldn't go because I was allergic to I had allergies. I was allergic to all kinds of stuff, and I couldn't go. But this fellow come, Brother Jack come, and he says, you need to be saved and healed. I don't know how many times he said it, but I'd never heard saved. Had I heard saved, I would have been gone, because I didn't want to be saved. I didn't want nothing of that God that the Christians had. I didn't believe in him. I'm sorry, but the Lord knew that. But I did believe in a universal creator that created everything, including Lucifer. And I didn't want no part of Lucifer. I was scared of him. I didn't know that I had been serving him all this time. I found that out here, Brother Miller. I thank this place for it. I had been in churches, and I'd seen what they did, what they taught. And I can go on for a long time. But anyhow, we came here. And I've had deliverance continuously ever since I've been here. Coming. Every time I come, I get deliverance.
Amen. Amen.
And sometimes the stuff that comes back in, and it gets kicked right out.
Thank you, Lord.
And the Lord is healing me a little at a time because he knows.
Amen.
That if it would have come too easy, I'd have been back in the world, and I'd have been back in sin. Amen. And I thank the Lord. I thank him for every pain that I have because I know I don't want to go back. I know what hell is. I've spent 60 years in hell on this earth. I know what heaven is. I've had a touch of it in the last 2 years that I've been saved. 2 years. Yeah, 2 years. And I thank the Lord. I thank the Millers for listening to the Lord. I thank for all the ministry that listens to the Lord.
Amen.
I thank Sister Blanchard. She's been a... He'd been a blessing. I've been able to go listen to her ministry a couple of times in between camp meetings. And we're starving in the community that I'm at for the word. There is some good word coming across our radio for the first time. We have never had a Christian station. We've got two of them. And one of them does talk about deliverance. So the Lord is working. And
amen.
I do have an outlet now with the radio.
Praise God. Praise
thank
God.
You.
Thank you, Brother Gus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brings back to mind to me too when back in the late 60s, Glenn and Irma came to visit with us when we lived up on Sand Mountain in Albertville. And they were passing on to do a convention, and we had met them in around the circuit. I was doing a lot of singing then, and we were all so excited about the things of the Holy Spirit and how God was moving. And I always knew there was something special there. And I could always talk my heart. And I heard a clear word. You know, and we were open. When I'd go to a convention, I couldn't wait to get to the book table to find out what anything new they'd learned in between since I'd seen them. But their car broke down, and they stayed with us, I think, about a week or so that time, maybe a little longer. And Glenn's mom flew up, and she was there with us also. It was just a delightful time. And fellowship. In fact, some of those people I saw not long ago, and they still remember when you guys were there. But they told us about how they were praying for a place where people could be helped. And of course, you know, we wish that they would be closer to us. We thought if God moves you from California, surely it'll be somewhere in the south, you know, good weather. And we were thinking of, and then us being close. But they came, and at one point when we saw them, they said, "We found the place. The Lord's given us a vision, and we know that this is it. And we're going to go back, and we're going to make an offer on the property." And I thought, oh, Lord, how could that be? What's in Arkansas? You know, and just thought, well, Father, I pray for this to take place, but I just couldn't imagine anything like this going on in Arkansas. But centrally located to all the United States, it's like a hub in the wheel. And what the Lord has done, you're like, little by little, the enemy is being driven out. And God is sending people like a network from all over the nation, see. Sometimes when we're in the middle of what's going on, we don't see the effect that we're having. We've traveled all over the United States, it seems, this year, and we've met people everywhere that had Lake Hamilton paper or knew Glenn and Irma personally. We always hand out the paper that they publish wherever we go, because it has such good prophecy. See, now, when I come into your house, it's not to put on your coffee table or to, you know, get with everything else on top of your desk. It's got a word from the Lord from you. These guys pray over what they write in that newsletter. And the prophecies, they pull the prophecies together and print them clearly so that the body can be edified and built up. And the word goes out, and you know, God's word of prophecy, it never dies out or is, you know, empty. It is always energized in the fullness of truth to every eye that picks it up to read it. And what, you know, might not be for you might be for somebody a year from now or 2 years from now to be lifted up and ministered to. So when this comes to you, you are privileged to hear that word, to read that word, to ponder that word, and to pass it on. We just feel that this word has got to go out. When deliverance comes to the body, see, I'm waiting for the time when the lamb and the lion can lay down together, see, when they'll not hurt and destroy in all God's holy mountain, when the child can play over the adder's den. I believe that we're the generation that's going to usher it in. The word says in that day, the knowledge of the Lord. Have not we been fed this week? I have heard things that have excited my heart to soar like the eagle. Hallelujah. And you know, I've heard things that I knew by the Spirit. But suddenly when somebody else put it into a word, it became rhema in me. See, God's word is doing a work in his body now. Every time we empty out, he fills us. Yes, Brother Glenn.
You made the remark about being a hub. Before we acquired this place one day, or it may have been the weekend we got it, I don't remember it. Anyway, in Denver, at a convention in Denver one year, Kenneth Copeland told me, he said, "I want to have breakfast with you in the morning." And we had helped Kenneth in his early years quite a bit. And so I said, okay. So I went down in the hotel restaurant, and he and I had breakfast. And he prophesied to me. So the Lord told me to tell you
that you will become the hub of a ministry that will reach across the nation and into other nations of the world. Mm-hmm. And it will flow out from wherever the Lord, that you will be the hub of it. And to my knowledge, I stand corrected, to my knowledge, I know of no other place such as this place in the nation or the nations. And our paper carries it out across the nation, and Blanche and Bill and Tommy and the rest and all the rest of you, Brother Gene and Earlene,
Linda
and others that come and hear and go are spokes that carry it out across the nation and around. Amen. The word of the kingdom and deliverance, that God rules and reigns in the hearts of his people.
Amen.
And he's got a kingdom that's going to stand.
Hallelujah.
And it shall never be diminished.
Hallelujah.
But it shall grow and grow and grow until it covers the earth as the waters cover the sea.
Amen.
I just
Amen.
Appreciate that we can be a little part preparing the people and the nations for the day of the kingdom.
Hallelujah. This is a vital hour that we live in. The things that are done in us is so important. You see, the church has moved in here, if I could say it that way. We're the church. Of every generation that knows this, we know it. You're not here by accident, circumstances, or a coincidence. You're here because God ordained this moment for deliverance, to bring us closer into fellowship with Him. This word has got to go forth. The body is dying on the vine. I know I say this by the Spirit. The old order, as good as it's been, and it's been wonderful, has got to recognize a new order. The sons of God, equipped, complete, perfect in all their doings. See, all of this year, the Lord has echoed in my ears, we've got to be what we say we are. We can't be one thing one day in one group and another thing another day in another group. It won't work. That day, no compromise, no coexistence in Satan's kingdom. We have come out. And there's no looking back. We've come too far to look back now. I speak of holy things. Miss Irma talked this week of holiness. I speak a holy thing to you today. We shall not faint under the load of the battle. As we long for Jesus, He's there to fight our battle for us. Before us, behind us, all around us, in us. The work is being done. We're not our own. We've been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus now. The sons of God are being equipped to pour out pure love. See, right now it's a mixture. Our personality gets in God's way. We want our way. We're selfish in some of our thinking. We want people to do it the way we want them to do it. You know, all of us have attitudes, possessive areas that we kind of deal with. Very clearly we must. And so the Lord, in His infinite wisdom, sent us the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Ghost. And what's He doing? He's showing you to you. This generation, man, in this earth, in this hour, is going to fling death away once and for all. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And what's so wonderful? In all the natural realm, you know, we just thought, well, this just happened. Oh, no. Your father opened the door. Your father put you through. Your father spoke in the night. Your father protected you from the evil one. And he sees to it that you're being groomed for the sonship of glory. The shadows of darkness, that's what deliverance is doing. It's removing the shadows of darkness. We're not going to look like this bloodline of natural man, the heirs of an Adamic nature. Because according to the word of new life, resurrection life, the heirs of salvation are going to be all that he said we should be. Now, like I said a few minutes ago, deliverance makes more room in you for Jesus. Now, you are the priest. The responsibility is in your being. You're in the network of who you are. See, it's time to stop living to die, to stop expecting everybody else in the kingdom to pray you through. It's time to establish a closer fellowship between you and the Lord. Of all the camps I've been to, this camp, I've come into a new dimension. I thought at first it was like when I first got saved. I was kind of like somebody here that just spoke how so many things happen. I was in a tent meeting and some people took me there. I was a girl of 18. And they were preaching the word and I was crying out for the Holy Ghost. And they called me out of the audience. And I was slain in the spirit when people weren't, that wasn't happening. But I walked into a force field that I couldn't stand up in. And of course, when I kind of come to myself, everybody gone home but the people I rode with. And they were sitting there waiting for me to come around. And I'd been praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord. And I stood on that golden ladder. I know what Irma was talking about, that golden ladder. I approached it halfway. And I was thinking as I went, if I could go the rest of the way up that ladder, I'd never have to come back here. I would be with my Jesus. Oh, it was wonderful. All of a sudden, I realized I could hear people were crying beneath me, way down there. And something inside of me wanted to see them have the same feeling that I had. And so I looked down, and I could see them crying for help. And I looked up and I said, oh, God, isn't there anything that you can do? And I saw big drops of rain begin to fall from the heavens. Hallelujah. And the next thing I knew, they got closer and closer to me. And in them were the faces of the peoples of the world. But they weren't crying anymore. Smile, laughter, peace. It was like those raindrops when they fell to the earth. It was like God was washing and giving drink, growth, nutrition to his body. I tried to get up. I couldn't. I fell back in the sawdust. Lost again in praise. Thanksgiving. Heard my mouth singing songs in a language I'd never heard. Looking for the Lord to take me up that ladder again. I wanted to find that ladder again. But realizing I had gotten a glimpse when I'd opened my eyes of the people sitting there, I needed to go home because their kids needed supper. And so I tried again, and again I fell back in the sawdust, just plunk. My legs wouldn't hold me up. My arms wouldn't work right. I just had moved into another realm where sense and feeling had no effect. Well, about the third time, after I had fallen back again, they held me up in a seated position. And gradually the man came and his wife, and they lifted me up and they bodily carried me to their car and put me in the back seat. And I promptly left them again. Hallelujah. For 3 days and nights, I couldn't go to work. I laid on my bed. They took me home and put me in my bed. And I laid there and cried and wept and prayed. See, wasn't that I was special before the Lord. I just needed that kind of work. I was a mess. Orphan girl. Raised in orphanages. My parents gave us away. Big time rejection. Always being told I wasn't any good because I looked like my mother and she was not always what she needed to be, and neither was my father. Things that went on in this growing up, and I finally left it all and went out on my own. Answered an ad in a newspaper after I'd lived with an aunt for a while. Saved, yes. Saved in that time I knew Jesus. But somebody told me there's more. I answered that ad in the newspaper. You think you're going somewhere because you have a need? Mm-mm. Those people that rented that room, those two rooms to me, were full of the Holy Ghost. And when that man at the Youth for Christ told me there was more, and I came home that night and laid my face down on that linoleum floor and began to cry out to God for more, I didn't know his name was the Holy Ghost. When I cried out for more, that precious lady was on her knees beside her bed praying for me. You think the Lord forgot you? Mm-mm. When he saves you and that rod of the word falls on you, let me tell you, the balm of Gilead's ready. And every tear and every pain and all the circumstances that have warped and framed and made you as you are, the Lord begins to work on that mess. I was a mess, but wasn't it too big a mess? You see, God wasn't banking on my bloodline. He was banking on his sons and his own. Hallelujah. See, he knew what the blood would do. He knew that mine was so filthy, so such a mess from all of the hurt and the pain and the emotions, all the times I was whipped and beaten and things that hurt me. And God knew underneath all of that, there was something there he wanted for himself. Now, thank you, Lord, for deliverance. What I didn't get then became a progressive work of seeking. Now, that is your key. To seek the Lord. You see, everybody's wanting God to empty them out. But if you're not seeking the Lord, you're going to be a target for the forces of hell. That's right, see? So we've got to have a balance in the deliverance ministry. You can't go off the deep end. God's not calling specialists to specialize in certain areas of ministry. We're going to be a balanced body, and we're going to do it all. All the gifts, all of the fruit. We're going to be like Jesus, and that's the way it's going to be, see. So, we get the pattern right, just like our brothers have been teaching us this week. We get a glimpse of more. crying hungry, Lord God, be in me all that you want to be, see, holding nothing back. That's when God can bring deliverance to you. You see, when you're ready to go on, then you can shake the dust off your feet of death. Everything that is shaping up us in lawlessness and rebellion, our day has been numbered, been visited unto us. And glory to God, the plan to rectify and ratify, to cleanse and make whole has been planned. And you and I, our names written in the book of life. And God's intending for us to know what life is really like. It begins right now. This is the day of deliverance. How do we keep our deliverance? We, in the name of Jesus, command our mind, our being, to the attention of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can't shirk your time in the Word. You can't be too busy to pray. You can't socialize in your church as good as it is and all the precious feelings that are there and leave off any of the other areas of your life. It's time to get serious. We've got to get serious. Darkness is approaching. The forces of hell are coming against this earth. There are things out there that we have never had any knowledge of before. Witchcraft, sorcerers, walking down the street, seeing the light of Jesus in you, are ready to damn you to hell and put curses on you because you don't know. You just know you start feeling bad, something's going on. See, we're beginning to recognize the strategy of the enemy, and we're stopping him right at the point where he begins his acts, his deeds, to bruise us and to separate us from the power of God's love. See, the Lord's moving mightily in the true church, and that's us. And we're going to balance in him so that we're never pierced unto death by the arrows of the evil one anymore. But in the name of Jesus, we are set free. Deliverers are coming out of Zion. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And they're going to judge Mount Esau. That you flesh man. Hallelujah. And that's what we're about. We got to judge this flesh man. See, and you know, you can't skip out and say, oh, that's just my flesh. Or that's just the flesh. Yes, it is just the flesh. But there's a demon in that flesh that's causing that flesh to malfunction. And there's a problem there that you better look into and find out how it got there and what's making it react in that way, and cast it out in the name of Jesus. And if you can't find out how it got there, cast it out in the name of Jesus. But if you really want to know, I believe, because the Holy Spirit says it to me, He would say it to you. It's one thing I know in all of this. In this end time kingdom man, there's no big I's and little U's. In our nature, we tend to follow personalities and peoples. But beloved, let's turn our eyes on Jesus. And let's look at the real pattern. He'll never disappoint you. He'll never fire you when you make a mistake. He'll never fail. He's never lost a battle. And He doesn't take prisoners. He sets us free. We've come too far to turn back now. Now, let's bow our heads. I feel to pray for you to impart the gifts of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, clearness, the Lord says to me, clearness for what He intends to do in this hour. Hallelujah. That the sons of God will arise in holiness before their God. See? No death contamination. Only the joy of life and the freedom and liberty of truth. Now, in the name of Jesus, would you repeat after me? I break every curse that has allowed ignorance, deafness to the Spirit, blindness to the truth, a mouth that speaks compromise, coexistence in this natural realm with the forces of death. And I command in your name, Jesus, that every lying spirit that would deceive, that would blind and deafen the true church, me, I command it to loose me. I cast it out in the name of Jesus. Now take a breath. That's what casting out means. Take a breath and loose yourself from it in the name of Jesus. I command it to loose you right now in the name of Jesus. Blindness and deafness. See, the word has got to be clear so that we can go on, so that we can get at the very depth of our being, the hidden things of rebellion. I break the curse of rebellion over you, the curse of death and destruction, the curse of lawlessness. I command it to loose you in the name of Jesus. I call it out. I command to loose you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out. I command to come out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I command every religious spirit that would seal you in the legalisms of man and man's doctrines to loose you right now in the name of Jesus. I call it out. You say it. I command every religious spirit to loose me in the name of Jesus. Loose me. Come out right now in Jesus' name. Now take a deep breath and let it go. Loose in the name of Jesus. Loose in the name of Jesus. Loose in the name of Jesus. Every bruise that has affected your response to God, every bruise that has affected your mind and your will, your emotions and your desires, I command to loose you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Push it out, push it out, push it out. I command it to go. See, you are the deliverer. Hallelujah. And you're also the delivery. Hallelujah. We command it in the name of Jesus. Every religious spirit, I command you to loose this body of believers. You see, when this is gone, you recognize truth. You can walk in discernment. See, now, another thing, let's not despise the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Let's cultivate them. Hallelujah. See, when this darkness and all these shadows are gone in this nature of man, the light that shines forth is more of Jesus. When we eagerly pursue, I think it says that in the 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians, the highest gifts, the choicest graces, and that we prophesy, see, that we could hear the voice of the Lord now. When you speak and prophesy, prophecy, you're not talking for yourself. You're talking for the Lord. Better be right, see. Now, when the mixture gets out, there's not going to be anything to cause it to not be right. You won't be standing there because, oh, look at me, I can really do this, Lord. See, in pride, you'll be standing there because God chose you as His instrument to bring blessing to His body where you are in that time, see. Now, let's deal with ourselves. Let's let the anointing flow in the name of Jesus for wisdom and knowledge. See, don't be afraid to examine yourself. Hallelujah. Now, you say, Lord Jesus, I command my being to your attention. I want to decide as you decide, Lord. I want to hear your whisper, Lord. All the word that you have made for us to flow through us. I don't want it to be a mixture, Lord. Because my spirit man is contaminated with the mixtures of death. I give myself to you, Lord. And I raise my hands of surrender. I hold nothing back. From this day forward, I give myself to you so that all of your plan is heard loud and clearly in my innermost being. And now, Lord Jesus, anoint me with the wisdom and the knowledge of your gifted person, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of obedience, discipline. Before you, O Lord, be in me now all that you want to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I have enjoyed this precious day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Now, is there anything else that you feel that we have not touched on that you want to deal with? See, sometimes the mixture gets so clouded over what I might call not might not meet in your understanding. So is there anything, and please be free, we're family here, to call it out, and we'll all pray together. In the, yes, dear? All right. And Lord, let your wisdom show us how the infirmities are in control. I'm finding that when my body is attacked in a sickness, or if I, as I recognize my family generation, man, what goes on in the spirit has a counterpart in the physical. See, like, bitterness and resentment, when it's accepted and controlled in the mind, the body begins to take on its symptoms, and we begin to be limited. When it comes to fullness, you know, the pain is there, the bitterness is felt, the resentment is felt. It'll take some people all the way back to a fetal position like a baby. And it's not able to give or to scarcely take in anything. See, that's the end result when that disease has overpowered the mind and taken over the physical. See, so when we begin to recognize weaknesses in each of us, we begin to pull down or cast from us the curse that allowed it, the our mind renewed and it cast from us its acceptance, and then healing must be generated within us but through the blood of Jesus Christ. The word says, by his stripes we're healed. See, we cast out the cause and the effect. See, we don't treat the symptom, we remove the cause. See, that's what deliverance does. We don't just get our mind changed. We can't name it and claim it. We have to be positive in the authority of the Word and command what the Lord has said. His Word lives forever. Now, the more we deal with ourself, our flesh man, this natural man, the more we're going to know the anointing and the wisdom of God's Word. See, it's what it's all about. Every time I go through deliverance, I feel stronger anointing. I feel things moving in me that I know. I've been praying about asking God to give me more wisdom, more knowledge, so that I can look with a spiritual eye at the spiritual need in the body, that we don't beat the air and guess and hope. But as ministers, we can talk in Jesus' name and command reality, truth, and see the captives set free. See, no entertainment and program, but the facts of life revealed to the true body. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, in the name of Jesus, I command infirmity to loose me right now. In Jesus' name, I cast it out. Its cause and its effect. In the name of Jesus. Now take a breath and push it from you. Hallelujah. Whatever the weaknesses and the diseases were in your bloodline, I command it to loose you. Yes, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Come on out in the name of Jesus. I command it to go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, now. Hallelujah. Anything else? Yes, dear. Oh, you're just waving to the Lord. Hallelujah. We wave. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody got anything else that you're thinking of we haven't touched on? Now. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Now, isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. I appreciate that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, for you that didn't maybe understand what she said that hole that we just emptied out, we're going to fill it up. What are we going to fill it with? Jesus. Now, let's get our tabernacle ready. I really think you need to stand up because the feet possess. See, that's your turf where you're standing, okay? Now, let's raise our hands. That's surrender. And let's say, Lord Jesus, every area that I've emptied out, I release it to the Holy Ghost. Come on in, Jesus. Be in me all you want to be. Take over every area of my life and fill me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. I'm available to you, Lord. I want to live in you, Lord, from everlasting to everlasting, and in all the ages and the eons. Oh, Lord God, let me decrease that you might increase. Come on in, Jesus. I love you, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.